Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Everybody,
poor guy.
I don't know what happened there.
Well, did anybody hear me at all?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, buddy. Okay. All right. So here's the key. We had some climate weather situation changes around the globe. I don't know what part of the world you're at listening. It hit real cool weather here. It got up to about 68 today, the highest. Right now it's 59 where I'm at. But then I'm hearing people on the East Coast and the Southeast, and they're saying it's hitting triple digits. I don't know if it's climate warming, what's going on here, But I'll tell you what, there's change hitting all around. And we got some calls this last week, folks, that are outrageous, okay? People are getting out more because they've lifted something in their area on the COVID-19, and some of the other, you know, states, they're getting more strict. So it's crazy as hell, I got to tell you. But, hey, listen, we're in this thing together. We got to stay strong, and we'll all get through it, you know. It'll never be like it used to be 6 months ago, but you know what? We're strong. We're resilient. We're like that rubber ball. When you get thrown down hard, you're going to bounce back up twice as high, and I really, honestly, and truly believe it. And the only way we're going to do it is by having people who are strong like you who are listening here tonight. Before we get to my guests tonight, I want to give a real big shout-out to a good friend of mine. His buddy. You heard me talk about the Anaconda Man, Cody and Barbara, the Vegas Road Show. Well, they performed at his place last weekend. And Bobby Becker, thank you for giving them the opportunity. They love you to death. Apparently, Bobby and Cody grew up together, and they palled around back in Philadelphia. Bobby is the big hotshot out there at Florida, the Florida Fraternal Order of the Eagles. And I didn't know, but the Fraternal Order of the Eagles all over the United States. But the auxiliary members that they got in the state of Florida where they're at, they mount up to about 45,000 people, folks. Unbelievable. And they do worthwhile things. They go out and raise money for the charitable organizations for their community and the state. People helping people. Kudos to you, good Bobby. Bobby Becker, thanks for doing what you're doing. And if you've heard Cody and Barbara, say no more. You know, you've been with the rest. Now you're going to come with the best. All right, folks. Tonight we got a special show for you. You know, our East Coast host, Leo the Bigfoot Hunter, he got us a hell of a guest here tonight. You may remember him. Remember the Spike TV had a show on there. It was called the $10 Million Bigfoot Bounty Show. Well, this guy won it, okay? Stacy Brown Jr. I remember his daddy, and I think he passed back in December of 18. Our condolences from our show and our people go out to you, son. But I got to tell you, he was a class act as far as I was concerned. Without any further ado, he's got a new movie out there. It's called The Skunk Ape Lives. Now, it blows my mind because you didn't get that anywhere from Bigfoot Lives, do you? That was our first award-winning movie, but that's okay. It's all the same. We're all trying to do the same thing here. So let's get out there to the East Coast and talk to our correspondent and host, Leo the Bigfoot Hunter. Leo, you out there? Did you unmute him?
As soon as I find him.
Put your glasses on, Rocky.
I may have the wrong number written here. That looks right.
I'm here,
Leo.
Godfather.
There you
I'm
go.
Here.
Did you hear anything I had to say, Leo?
I heard everything. I heard everything.
Okay. All right. So I gave you a little entree to the entrance of your guest. Anything you want more to say about him before you bring him on?
Yes, sir, I do. You know, I spent a couple of weeks trying to contact this gentleman. And for the listeners out there, you know, from the old Leo, the Bigfoot Hunter, who brought you? But listen, this guy right here has a video. And he took this video. He and his dad, God rest his soul, they were out looking for the infamous skunk ape. And they have a thermal video that would blow your mind. And I will say it's running neck and neck with our good friend Mike Green there, Godfather. So this guy is, I consider him, a pioneer in the business of looking for the skunk ape. So, you know, without further ado, I'd like to get my man on the line, Stacy Brown. Stacy, can you hear me, buddy?
Sir, how are y'all doing?
Good, good. Introduce yourself to us there, Stacy.
I am Stacy Brown, Jr. I am a Skunk Ape researcher, filmmaker, musician. I'm 36. I'm from a little town called Crawfordville, Florida, up in the Panhandle area.
Okay, okay. Now, the area where you're from, is that considered a hot spot in Florida in reference to the skunk ape?
You know, it's the area that I'm from, people won't really talk about it. But I'm in a very rural area, and there's a ton of, you know, woods. And I get reports, but they're like, somebody's like, hey, man, come here, I got something to tell you. You know, it's not like stuff people want to talk about. We still... You know, for some reason, whatever it is, it's just not really a known or like a talked about thing here as it is like down in South Florida where, you know, everybody talks about the skunk ape down in the Everglades. But to be honest with you, this is one of the best areas in the state.
Right, right. Now, in relationship to where that thermal video was filmed, how far is it from where you live?
About 45 minutes.
Is it?
I would say, yeah, you know, probably about 40 miles, you know, 30, 40 miles.
About 40 miles. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you would, set the stage for us and tell us a little bit about how this came about when you got this, when you obtained this thermal video. What happened that night or the days before? Did you have activities the day before, and then you went back out there the next night, you and your dad, and you end up catching this creature on the thermal? Set the stage for us.
Well, okay, in 2011, I got to go back that far. In 2011, my dad had cancer, and we had scheduled to go to this lady's house to investigate Bigfoot, you know, the skunk ape. And so he wasn't able to go with me. He had just got out of surgery, was recovering, so my bass player went with me. And anyways, long story short, we went out there, and I had a visual encounter, you know. So that night changed my world. I kind of quit music, which I was doing good, making good money playing music at the time. I just quit. I said everything will work out. I'm just gonna prove this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, so my dad seemed was very serious about it. So he sold his boat to buy a thermal camera, and then we were in it about 6 months messing around in this area. Me and my guys that I went with, we had heard knocks and whoops, vocalizations and stuff. And then fast forward now, May 8th, 2012, I was at work, and I didn't get off till 6 o'clock that evening. And my sister... I guess my mom was staying at my sister's house, and my sister lived up in Tallahassee, which is the kind of the biggest town around here. So she went and stayed up at Amanda's house, and which left my dad free for the evening. So my dad called me up. He's like, hey, let's go Bigfooting, man. And it had kind of rained that day. I think we ended up getting just about an inch and a quarter of rain, but it wasn't like a solid downpour. You know, it's just kind of like it just drizzled for a while. You know what I mean? One of them, like, Seattle rains. So we went out there, and my dad at this point didn't believe. He thought it was cool. It was enjoyable for him to hang out with me, but he had no reason to believe that these things were real. So we're out there doing our thing. We're grilling some ribs. I got some white zombie on, you know, we're just hanging out, father-son thing, and I heard some knocks. And I was like, hey, that's them. They're coming, you know, because I said all we got to do is go out to one of these isolated campgrounds and just be ourselves, and these things would come right on up to us if they're in the area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we heard another knock. My dad's like, listen, man, that's the wind going against the trees, but if it does it again, I'll humor you, you know, we'll walk out there, which we had to walk away from the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it wasn't no sooner than he got those words out his mouth that there was like a, and then it knocked. It was like a, you know, like it kind of grunted before it knocked, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's it, dude. So what we did at that point is I had a Sony Handycam night shot, right? You probably got about 6-7 feet of IR on these things. It's shitty, but it, you know, it is what it was at the time. 2012, there wasn't a whole lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the thermal, and we had lights out. Now, he had put it on the Black Hawk because the trail looked like snow at that point. You could stay on trail. So we're walking, and I've got my hand on his shoulder. The palmettos are really high up around this campground. I want to say they're like 7 feet high. So you can sneak out down this trail, and if something's on one of the hills around in the area, they may not see you. I mean, and so we thought at the time.
Right.
You know, but these things see just perfectly fine. We find out here in a few minutes, you know. They see perfectly fine with being pitch black. Because when I tell you it was pitch black, I couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Right, right.
And that's honest, you know, honest to God. So we get out there, and we're here in Knox, and then, like, what sounds like somebody running, but on both sides of us.
Uh-huh.
And so we get up this one spot, and we kind of hear it on this ridge, and so we hang a left. My dad thinks that he's on the park trail. He's actually on a game trail at this point. So we go down, and he sees something on the hill, and he's like, hey, I got something. And it's sticking out of one side of the tree, and then it's sticking out the other side of the tree, and then it's sticking out of both sides. So he thought it was a coon at first until it's sticking out both sides.
Mm-hmm.
He still doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just kind of standing around in the dark, he steps forward. I guess what he's trying to do is, like, kind of maybe move or something. Somehow he moved, but he ended up kicking a palmetto. And it made a loud pop. And when he did, that thing shot out. And it went back the way we came. So my dad turns, and he's like, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. Get your gun. I have no idea what he's seen.
Right,
because
right.
of the thermal can see far.
Right.
My little night vision that I got, my little handy cam, like I said, I got about like 8, maybe 10 feet at the most.
Right.
So we're running back to camp, and the camera's dead. We just put new batteries in this thing, which I always run lithium batteries in this shit, so that's why it was kind of hard to explain why the batteries went dead, because we wouldn't walk down that trail not 20 minutes.
Right.
The batteries should have been good. You know what I mean? Because, hey, we didn't put the batteries in the thermal until it was time to go.
Because
I was worried about them draining. So the camera goes dead. We get back to camp. We have no more batteries. My dad's a retired Army Ranger, you know, and he was shook. What he said, and he just kept saying, man, that thing was looking right at me, and it ain't
far? Let me ask you this real quick. When you're talking about the distance with your thermal camera and the way it operates with the equipment you have, how far would you say your dad, because your dad was the one that was operating the thermal cam to get this creature on video. How far would you say you guys were in relationship in relation to this creature?
140 feet, maybe. 50 yards. I mean, it was about 50 yards. You get 3 feet to a yard, about 50 yards, more or less. Cliff Rackman from Finding Bigfoot. So after we get the footage, right? We're sitting there with us, and we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? We won't tell people, but here was what it boiled down to. First, my dad thought I was messing with him. But when we got that parking lot on a Tuesday night at Torreya State Park, there ain't nobody for miles. And when I said, hey, we're 40 miles away, about 32 of those are through the woods. So you're in the middle of the woods out there at Torreya State Park. And, you know, so you can't – he was like, well, you know, think maybe I put somebody up to it or something. I'm like, dude, it was midnight on a Tuesday night, brother. So then that boiled down to, okay, it could be a Bigfoot, or it could be there's somebody out here in the woods naked that was watching us in the middle of the night, and that's kind of a little bit more terrifying.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So what we did is we didn't want ourselves to do the investigation because we felt with the way science is and the peer review, they always want somebody else to do the investigation.
Correct.
Or the work, you know, besides the person that finds it. So, hey, mm-hmm. we gave Cliff exact numbers where we were at. He showed up and retook those numbers from us. You know, he got the numbers himself, you know, everything lined up, you know, and that was it.
Well, let me ask you this. After you seen this creature, you came back, after everything, all the smoke cleared, you get back, you see you had something on the IR thermal cam. Did you go back the next day? Did you look for any footprints or anything like that, broken branches or anything that obviously showed it was something standing in that exact location?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. My dad wasn't going back to the woods. He was like, I ain't doing it. We went back on the weekend, but it was a few days, you know, it was a few days later. That was like a Tuesday night, so I don't think we ended up getting out of there just because of not having the time to, you know, and just going back out there and seeing what it was. Because we originally did the recreation ourselves, just trying to see, you know. But the problem is when, notice I said the part about my dad thought he turned down the trail, but he was on a game trail.
Right, right.
Okay, so the trail that we thought we were on was is awful beat down. Like, I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
clay, you know what I mean? Where we were at, and when you watch the playback on the tape, you could tell that's not where we were. So that made a difference in the distance.
Right, right, right. Now,
you know what I'm saying?
did you do any research prior to or after the fact, after you got your video? And did you do any research to find out that there were several sightings in that area, or it has been sightings in that area, credible sightings?
I had already. Finding Bigfoot, their second episode was from here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So there was a lady that had a handprint on the inside of her door. And so that was the first encounter I got from that area,
mm-hmm.
and that was the place where I had my encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as the crow flies, it's maybe 10 miles away
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
where my dad got his footage. So it's the same area. It's the same creek, like, what did they call it? Flat Creek. Flat Creek
mm-hmm.
runs all the way to the interstate right there by the film site. So
right.
you can just run that creek system and travel that creek system. It only takes a night. I've done it myself. Just travel
yeah.
the creek. You can go from the film site 10 miles down the creek all the way to where I had my encounter.
Right, right. Now, I got one question, and this is a very, very intriguing question. From your movie, I watched the movie. I watched it several times because, you know, I kept going back because there was pieces in it that I wanted to go back and look at and analyze. In one of the episodes or one of the scenes in your movie, it's dealing with park rangers, and I think they had a forest fire or something, and they went out and hit one of these creatures. And did you interview that park ranger?
Oh, yeah, I know him personally.
Could you,
the funny thing about that story, I can't tell who he is.
Oh, that's correct. We're fine with that.
I can't. I gave the man my word.
Right.
I knew him since I was about six. He was a to-do person, you know. He's who he was. Everything he says he was, he already was, you know what I mean? And he was an older gentleman. He was probably 30s when I was six, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he went to my church, knew him, great guy, played basketball with his sons and stuff, a real no-nonsense guy.
Mm-hmm.
And after our video came out, after we put that video out, we ran into him at the gas station, I did, and he said, hey, why don't you and your daddy swing by this afternoon? I got something you want to hear, and he laid that story on us.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that story, you know, for those who don't know, those who haven't actually looked, you know, got your movie. Tell us a little bit about, because I'm sure the Godfather himself
right.
may have got some questions in reference to this story?
So for the Bradwell Bay fires, were pretty bad in this area. We had a real bad forest fires that year. And this Bradwell Bay part is in the middle of the Apalachicola National Forest here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge tract of land, dude, like massive. There's cypress trees in there that are like big around as the front of your truck. You know, huge. They never could get into these areas and log it back in the day when they logged all this because of how rough the terrain is.
Mm-hmm.
So this forest fire was tearing through there. And the guy, I guess he was young, maybe 17, 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a grunt. So it was more of a less go do all this. You're going to do this, this, and this. And while you're out riding around, you're going to, y'all see any animals, pick them up and bring them back to the vet. And he came around this one corner and they were doing a little fast. Something run out under the driver's side. And so that curve that he's talking about, if you get into that curve and you're doing like 30 around that corner, if there's something there in the road, you're coming too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ran over it. They got out, thought it was a bear. And then he lifted it up and they seen it wasn't, and they put it into that. They radioed in. From what he said, some FWC officials came out and took the thing. So about, if I get 100 skunk ape reports, five of them will be of this same description, where they kind of have a baboon-like snout.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get about 5% of my reports like that. And so this is what some people said maybe it was a dog man, but I don't believe so. They're not talking like a dog like that much. They're more talking like a baboon. But apparently they came back. They had to ride back out to the site with some government guys that came out, and the government guys just basically told them to shut up. He's like, hey, man, if you ever talk about this, it's all done. So.
Well, I can tell you now, I know Tom Sr., he's dealt with that. Godfather, you out there?
I got my ears on, son.
Hey, can you chime in and tell us a little bit about your experience? Because I'm sure you can relate to the situation when he's talking about the men in black and they're coming out and threatening you and things of that nature.
Sure as hell will. First of all, nice to have you, Stacy.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me be on, man.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if you knew it or not, but before your daddy died, he called me on the phone. We talked. And wasn't this down there at Terrea National Park?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What time of the year was this?
May.
When?
It was in May, so it was about springtime.
Springtime. And it was on a Tuesday night when there was nobody down there. You said that the parking lot was empty and everything, right?
Oh yeah, it was empty and the soul.
So I know the story briefly, but before I get into that, I want my listeners to hear, because hey, you got yourself a title, son, and I'm proud of you. You were the winner of the Bigfoot Bounty Show on Spike TV, weren't you?
Yeah, it was it was a silly game show, but hey, they gave me money to actually pursue my research after that, so it worked out.
Well, it said $10 million. How much did you get?
$100,000.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Not a damn thing.
That's 1%, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did everybody else get the same amount?
Me and my partner did. Me and my partner got the research grant for $100,000, and that's what we did. We employed ourselves to research a skunk ape until the money ran out.
That's a beautiful thing, man. I love it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, when they get some more of those shows out there, maybe you could be a lucky winner just like Stacy JR was. And him and his partner, who was your partner at the time?
A guy named David Lauer. He's a veteran out of Jacksonville.
He's a vet, you said?
Yeah, he's an Iraq war vet. And he had had an encounter over in Jennings State Forest over in Jacksonville. And he hit me up through the internet. And next thing you know, we were doing that show. So,
isn't that wonderful? That's a dream come true for a lot of people. By the way, how long has your movie been out?
The movie came out, I want to say, late May.
Of this year?
Yeah.
How'd it do?
And, man, like, honestly, I didn't ever expect anything I ever made to do so well.
Okay, so
It's the top Bigfoot documentary on Amazon right now, from what my distributor's telling me.
Who's your distributor?
We're working with through Film Hub right now. So they're more or less like a marketplace, but we have a guy there who's working with us.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it, because the electronic media is real big now versus DVDs and Blu-ray and all that other stuff. I'm sure you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it, primarily downloads is what you've been finding been
well,
more successful?
Well, see, so the movie I actually made 2 years ago, okay? But my segues in it, I didn't know what I was doing. I just kind of got a writer's block. And then so we just pushed it out there just to get it out, you know, just to get it out of the – once I finished it and I was like, oh, now I love it. We just went ahead and put it out. And we probably could have done better with our promotion and stuff, but we were just kind of trying to get it out there, you know. So we actually did this movie in, like, 2018, and we're just now, you know, just now getting it out, because we had a few other projects. And then – then when my dad passed, he was like my best friend. So that was it took me a time before I did anything, you know.
Like I said at the top of the show, our condolences go out to you and your family. You know, you're another Bigfoot researcher just like us and all the people that are listening here all around the globe. We got about, I think it's 47 or 57 countries that listen in every Wednesday night. We're the longest Bigfoot show that's ever been running. We've been out there for now, I think it's 16 years, believe it or not.
Oh, I know y'all were. Me and my dad used to listen to a guy, Tim Fasano.
Yeah, come out to meet Tim.
I ended up meeting Tim. He was a great dude.
Taxi driver.
Yep. He was just so funny. Like his videos. I know you've seen his videos. He was just all over the place. So that was. That was how we first found out, you know, because you had came out to McNeil with him,
yeah.
You know. So that was the first time we had seen
you. Out
him.
There in the Green Swamp in Tampa.
Yep, and your show was on then, I believe.
Yes, it was. At the same point in time, I know about those palmettos real well. Them friggin' snakes used to coil up in them some bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that. I got my my fill of them some bitches. I'll tell you what, those cotton mouths were.
But yeah, the film's done well. People are asking me to make another one. And so basically, the Skunk Ape Lives was just the highlights of my 7 years of research so far. I haven't been in the game that long.
How's David down there? You know, the one that has the museum?
David's all right, man. He, I haven't met him but once, you know, and I didn't at the time get to talk to him a lot, but he was a very nice guy. I talked to him on the phone.
Oh, so you didn't go down and see his museum and his trailer park?
I have been to his museum, but he didn't have time to talk. There was something going on at the time with one of the snakes. He's got like a 23-foot python in there.
Yeah.
That's David Shee, correct?
Yeah.
I've seen him.
There's another guy down there. I'm trying to remember his name. Did a movie with me. I think his name was Chris. Florida. I can't remember. We've, you know, I've been doing this for over 52 years. We've traveled all over the country, and we're planning a big one out. I got four movies coming out that we did last year, and my distributor and my producer has broken it out. We had, like, I don't know, 32,000 hours of film, believe it or not. But this isn't just that. It's mud fossils. It's paranormal. It's aliens. It's Bigfoot. It's something like we've never done before. And, boy, we were kind of lucky in getting a bunch of great footage wherever we ended up. So that stuff's coming out. But we're going to be leaving in October for about 6 weeks. And we're going to be coming out to Florida this time. And hopefully we'll give you a jingle and we'll hook up with you when we're out there.
Hey, whatever, man. I've got two really good areas here. You speak about the paranormal. I've got a spot where, like, we can ask for lights to show up and the lights will show up, you know. So I also do, like, ghost hunting, you know, which is a recent thing for me because of these lights. I'm not sold that Bigfoot's just a flesh and blood creature. He could be. I don't know, but I'm a lot of times nowadays when we're having Bigfoot encounters, skunk ape encounters, we're also having these encounters with these lights. So I take paranormal gear with me, you know, just in the slight chance that the Native Americans were right and these things are like walking through dimensions or realms or whatever you want to call it.
And you know what? And I appreciate that, because when I first started off here, I says, well, you know, we can go out there and capture a Bigfoot if they exist, but can you go out there and capture a ghost and put him in a bottle? I don't think
True.
You can.
True.
So the key to it is, you know, I thought it was all smoke and mirrors until I experienced it with my own crew in Nevada in these ghost towns that we were filming in this last year. And something else that I couldn't believe it, you know, when they talk about the aliens today, I thought that was all bullshit. But I'll tell you what, there's some... Here's a good question for you, Junior. All of a sudden, you see one of these creatures, and then, boom, zoom. They're so quick, they move quick as light. And you try to follow that trail, and now you're against a big stone wall. Say, how the hell did he get over the wall? Did he go under? Did he go around? Or did he go on top? And then you get on the other side, and you find out the trail continues. But you were right there behind him. So did Beam Me Up Scotty get him and put him on the other side? I can't say yes. I can't say no. But I can say that there were tracks on the other side.
Because
I saw them with my own damn eyes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of abnormal. There's just stuff that isn't normal down in your area that leaves a big question mark. There's that other guy down there. I don't know if he's dead or not. He had a bad foot situation with diabetes. He had that university. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, Scott Marlowe.
How is he doing?
I know the last time I seen him, he was he had had some issues with his health. I have with him since the movies came out, and he seems to be in good spirits. I didn't personally ask how he, you know, was, but he's like a walking encyclopedia.
Guy's phenomenal, man. I got to tell you, he was up there when we received our best documentary in Pocono Mountains Film Festival, the first one. He was there with me.
Right on.
Yeah. He was just, you know, happy as a lark, just like he wanted himself. He's a great guy. He's been on expedition with us in a couple of, I think up in Pennsylvania was one. And, of course,
he
went to Florida also.
I think he said that didn't he go with you to Tate Tell? Y'all came. You came to Carabel, Florida, one time.
Oh my back. God, you're right. That's
yeah. This is like 2007.
That's it. Tate Tell. Yes. Oh my God.
I live in the
there?
Next town over. I live like 15, 20 miles from there.
You know, I was going to buy that town. I honestly and truly, I love that town. It, you know, it has the there's an inlet right there.
Yeah,
the harbor,
to fish
and restaurant.
It like my,
it's got
my
the
profession.
Smallest. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to listen to this. It's amazing how he brought back memories to me. It's got the smallest jailhouse in the United States. Size of the jailhouse. It's a telephone booth. Believe it or not, I got pictures of me and the mayor and the police chief and all that kind of stuff there. Isn't that amazing that you knew
it
about
is.
That?
It is. It is. Hey,
it
Stacey,
really is.
Quick
well, I'll tell
you
what.
You.
I really, I can't wait to meet you in person. Well, the time your daddy called me, stand up, dude, folks. I got to tell you, and I'm the Bigfoot world's going to miss him. I'm sure. I'm sure they're missing him now. But he's up there looking down at us and saying, hey, you guys continue on the work, and in my honor, make sure you guys come back with something. Hopefully, maybe we'll do that this year. What do you think, JR?
I'm down, man. Just give me a call. This is what I do.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Stacey, if someone wants to get a hold to that movie, how can they get a hold to your movie?
Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Right now, if they're in, I know we're streaming in 8 countries. So yeah, they can get it on Amazon Prime. It's going to have a YouTube release here soon. Once I get the monetization for my channel back, which is YouTube and me are like, you know,
right.
So, YouTube screwed me, but you know, seriously, I've since this movie's come out, I've had about 90 personal messages asking people asking me to make another one, and like I never get this before, you know what I mean? I made a Roswell film and it was so. I've been making a film with Les Stroud, you know, and it's not out yet, but
wait, don't go cover that up too quick. You're talking about the guy from BC?
Survivor Canada? Man?
Les Stroud?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who he is. He called me. He was one of my first people on my show. So what's
yeah,
the story with him? Is he back in the business?
Oh, me and him are doing stuff, you know, but he doesn't, like, his whole TV thing, he just kind of got shot out on it, you know.
Well, I heard that he got all beat up because of the, it was all bullshit. It was all a hoax.
With Todd Standing, working with Todd Standing?
Yeah.
Yeah, people gave him a hard time in the Bigfoot community because of that. But, I mean, at the same time, he worked with all these people. He took all these different Bigfooters, and he was like, put it up or shut up. You know what I mean? Show me where they're at, or either stop talking about it. And that was more or less what he did. So on his, like, Survivor Man Bigfoot shows, he went with all these different people and said, okay, take me to where you're seeing these Bigfoots, and I want to have my own activity. The only Bigfoot activity that he had was spiritual.
Gotcha. And I got to tell you something. He have something to do with the guy that shot one of the Bigfoot, and he was selling the meat of the Bigfoot?
Oh, Justin? So, no, so Les didn't have anything to do with him. I actually, Justin was on that show, Bigfoot Bounty, that I was on.
You know that I put up $50,000. I said, I'm going to buy, and I'll put the $50,000 in escrow. I'm going to buy a pound of the Bigfoot meat. But until I get it, the DNA of it, I will not release the money. Because he had said that it was genuine. But he didn't take my offer, as you know. And you know why he didn't take my offer, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they put a lot of money. I know Wally and a few other people put a lot of money in Melba Ketchum, right? With
you
that
know who gave Melba Ketchum her start?
I have no idea, but like...
Talking to him right now.
From what I understand,
are you talking about
everybody off?
Are you talking about the vet in Texas?
Yep. Yep.
That has a son that came from Russia.
I don't know about that, but I know.
She fell in love with a guy from out in California, and she lost weight, and she got beautified, and all that bullshit, and she stole my samples, and
she robbed everybody.
Oh, she robbed you too, then, huh? Yeah.
She robbed my friends to the tune of about $27,000.
Well, hey, listen. Do you remember the nail that she came up and said with the genomes and B-nomes and her badass? Says that, this is the real deal, and then she got shot down for the scientific papers and everything. Where do you think that came from? It came from our expedition in Arizona.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that,
okay,
did you?
So Dr. Todd, who was one of the judges on Bigfoot Bounty, he's a good buddy of mine, and he's a geneticist, and he does – all of my DNA work. So on her stuff, she actually, he retrieved a sample of it somehow or another. And from whatever she sent him was just like a bunch of DNAs put together, like possum and, you know, a horse, a cow and pig and all these things, just kind of, she tried to somehow pass it off like it was one animal. I guess not realizing that this man has, like, they have machines that will separate known DNA.
That's right.
So what does she do? Go out and find some roadkill and bring it to him?
No, here's how it worked. And I was there. I forget the town, man. And I used to get pissed off because it's a small town, and if you blinked, you'd pass it through. But they were discovering oil down there, or the other thing that they call them, shellacs or whatever the hell you call them, that go in the ground. And they were getting, like, $300 a night for a room, and Youngblood and I was there. I'll never forget it. And then she fell in love with me, and she put my picture on a screensaver of a computer at the laboratory. And I said, "Look, honey," I says, "you can be in love with me, but it's got to be a mutual situation, and I'm not in love with you. So, but you can keep my picture up here." And I got a contract with her that she never honored. And if I wanted to go and fight it and put good money in the bad, but she was broke. She didn't have two nickels to rub together. And yeah, you're right. Wally got behind her, and that poor guy, I felt so sorry for him because of all the money that all those people took from him. But that's okay, you know. You live and learn, right, JR?
Yeah, you know, he was just, he got played victim too much, and that's the bad thing, because you don't have many people with money trying to invest into this. Like right now, what my whole goal with my Skunk Ape films that I'm going to be putting out is so that at the end, once I've got the money saved, which may not take me as many films as I thought now, once I've got my money saved, I want to do like a 6-month expedition. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saving. That's my goal. And you don't have people that are throwing money into it. So when somebody like Wally comes around and puts money into it, then you have some jackasses rip him off and lie to him and rob him for like 4 or 5 years straight. It scares everybody away.
And then I was the one down there in Kentucky where the pancake-eating Bigfoot was. Remember that one?
I do. So whatever, the Erickson Project, right?
That's it.
Whatever happened with that?
Same situation. More bullshit than that bilking these guys. You know, he had a construction company and what have you, and they took a ton of his money. I know Wally was living in Vegas, got himself a young wife, I heard, Asian wife. Then his health took to him. So I hope he's okay. And of course, this is all from people that know him and would tell me the stories. And you know, I feel sorry for people like that. But that's okay, you know. You live and you learn, and when you think you're on top of the mountain, there's always somebody there trying to knock you off.
Yeah,
you know, back
true.
In my day, you know, when I started, I was out there with Ivan and had a flashlight and a sharp stick. That's what I had. Now we got the FLIRs and the drones and all the bullshit, you know, and it makes the job a lot easier. The key to this whole story is to get into a nest somewhere and get there before they migrate to their next step. And I think between my son TJ, is TJ on, Rocky?
It seems as though he may have dropped off.
Did he? Okay. All right.
We got the rest of the crew on the line.
Wait a minute. Is Father Ray? Father Ray, you out there?
I am here.
Okay, Father Ray, good evening. And thanks for being on. Who was the guy that got that worked for us, that he's dead now, he died a couple, 3 years ago, that had the sample that Melba took, and that's the one she wrote the DNA on? What was his name?
I don't know.
Well, let me remind you. Okay, are you drinking that wine that you have on the pulpit?
No.
Okay, so here's the deal, Ray. He was out there in Farmington, and his father-in-law was next chief. Chief Dan.
Okay.
So who was? You were out there on the land with us when we went and looked at the creature. We had Chief Dan's daughter at our trailer and land. And then he used to have the river rafting.
Oh, JC.
That's it. Yeah, JC. Well, he's dead. Okay.
Yes. God have
and
mercy.
He got all caught up in that thing, Junior. I felt so bad for him. And all the people that he did, listen to this story. And Father Ray can verify this. He told everybody that, oh, man, you don't have to work no more. Our ship came in. She's going to have this out there. It's going to be published by all Scientific American and all this other bullshit. And we're going to have more money than we ever had in our lives. And guess what happened, JR?
Didn't happen.
They're still waiting for the ship to come in. That's what they're waiting for. And by the way, I got to tell you a story, all right? You know, Barackman, Cliff, he related your movie to the one up there in Yakima. That's how quick I was. You know who that is.
Patterson film.
Huh?
The Patterson film.
The Patterson film. Now, you do know that the Patterson film was phony.
I thoroughly believe it. If I had the money to make the documentary, I'd blow everybody's mind. But it's just
listen, son,
I've done so much research on this. I have 13 things that you cannot argue that are discrepancies. And so, like, if you have discrepancies, then your shit's bullshit to me.
Well, Stacy, you're talking to the man on the other end over there who actually proved it.
I'm the one that did it.
Did you?
Oh, and listen, I knew Roger, okay? And I knew his wife, okay? There's pictures of her and I together. And I'll tell you what, Hieronymus, who was in the suit, is in the movie. I got to do me a favor, get all of the, Leo, you got all of his vitals and his profile so I can send some movies out to him tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I'll get them to you straight tomorrow, sir.
No. Just get it. You have my movies?
I got them. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So then get him Hoax of the Century.
Okay.
Let him see that. And then let him see the – did you see the one about the two boys, the two cops from Georgia that took me for $107,000?
See, I want to talk to you about that because I know Rick. Like, I was in a – this is how I met Survivor Man, is after I won Bigfoot Bounty, I got called by an independent filmmaker. He was making a film with Tom Green and Les Stroud, and they're like, hey, we want you to come out here and be yourself.
You mean
and
Tom Green, the guy in Canada who's dead?
He's what?
Tom Green, the guy that wrote the books that's dead?
No, Tom Green, he used to have a show on MTV. He did, like, the movie Freddy Got Fingered, and he was a comedian.
Oh, okay, no.
In the late 90s. So this
ask me the question that you got.
Okay, so anyways, I met Rick on there. Rick was on that movie as well. They had Rick play himself. And Rick tells a story that, of course, is favorable for him. if you understand what I'm saying. He doesn't look bad in it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to be honest with you, that motherfucker had me fooled. I sat in the bar up here in Tallahassee because we had a gig, and I was telling my drummer, I was like, hey, man, they got Bigfoot. It's going to be real. I've been telling you Bigfoot was real. And he was like, nah, you full of shit. And then sure as hell, costume in a damn freezer or whatever.
Wait,
you know.
About that one. What about the one he came back with and he toured with?
Oh, yeah. See, and that's the thing. It's like lightning won't strike twice. And he said he's going to do it again. I can't wait for him to do it because some of the people in the Bigfoot community make you want that shit to happen to them. You know, because some of these people run their mouths so much and they nitpick people that are honestly trying to do this. And, dude, hey, they'll go after you. Like, when I got divorced, they went after my ex-wife. These people have talked about my kids. They'll try to tear down your whole family and stuff.
And you know
and of
what?
Course, because,
you're exactly right. But just think what happened to my son and his family and me and my family when we were doing just the right thing, okay, thinking that two upstanding cops, okay, and we find out it's all bogus bullshit and the money that they took us for, and then it didn't stop after that. They go on eBay and were selling the suit, and it got up to $255,000, and they didn't even have it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rick took so many people for money. And I don't know if he still continues to do that, but I do know people like him. And now, hey,
well, I heard that he was down in Florida and he had some car lots or something.
He did, but he's not now. He's moved to Arkansas and he's still doing cars.
Well, let me tell you something. If Saki finds out and the Swede finds out, they'll run him out of Arkansas. That's for damn sure.
I know where he lives. I know where he works.
Oh, do you really? What part of Arkansas?
Yeah, up around Rogers. Just a few miles from me.
Oh, is that
Rogers,
right?
Bentonville area.
It's amazing that he roosted there. It really is. You know, I got
to
tell you, it's been exciting.
I'd like to take you on an expedition.
And it's been a pleasure to finally meet you over the phone anyway. And we're going to put you on the list for when we leave around the 20th of October. We're going to go out for about 6 weeks. We're going to be going all over the United States, but primarily in the, you know, where the weather is still okay. And
right.
But we're going to come out there, spend 2-3 days with you, and get you on film with us and see if we can get anything out there, anything new, okay?
Right on, man. I'll be.
Hey, Stacy. This is Leo. Hey, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know you and I we chatted for a day and a half, and I want to thank you being willing to come on the show and share your story. And I really do appreciate it because this was a daunting task that the Godfather gave me to do. So I had to make sure I do it correctly.
And you did a hell of a job to boot. Okay. So before we get off the air here, I want you to tell everybody to stay tuned to next week, because tell them who we got coming in from Australia.
Well, we got a change of plans. Now, the Australia deal, the guy called me back, and he had to change the plans. But I got something just as good. It's going to be just as good. Next week, I'm going to have Barry Webster from the Omaha Bigfoots. He's going to be on. He's a Native American. He's a Bigfoot researcher. He's got some extraordinary stories to tell you. He's got some videos he's going to send me. We're going to get these videos, and we're going to post them so you can see them. But this is going to be a treat. Next week, Barry Webster is going to be on there. It's from the RAS Sasquatch Research. And
he said
I'm telling
he's
you can go.
American Indian?
Yes, him. That's him.
Tribe?
Yes, sir.
What tribe?
He didn't tell me all that when
well,
we talked.
What's the part of the country you're from?
He's it's Omaha, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Where they from?
Nebraska.
Yep. Okay. So I'm going to be posting a flyer for folks to see. But I'm telling you, Barry's an extraordinary guy. I stayed on the phone with him today for about an hour. And I'm telling you, I was at awe at some of the stuff he was telling me. So it's going to be a treat, folks.
Continue it on next week. Again, to all my guests, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Marco Bill.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night from Kentucky.
Good night from New Mexico.